In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody lift your voice right now and just love him, just love him. Just don't ask him for anything, just love him right now. Come on, that's it, that's it. Don't petition the Lord, just praise him right now. Just worship him right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. What I want you to do is take a spiritual, I don't know if this is a term, but I'm going to make it one if it ain't, a spiritual screenshot of what's happening right now. And I want you to hold on to it. Because I believe in the Holy Ghost that we're going to come back right to this very same spot that we're in right now. And we're going to go to the next level as this service continues. Would it be all right if we just obeyed the Holy Ghost tonight and went to the next level? Do you like what you feel right now? Do you like what you feel? Oh, hallelujah. You have your Bibles tonight, the book of Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. While you're turning there, let me say again what an honor and a privilege it is to be here. You say, preacher, you say that every time you get up there. It's because I mean it every time I get up here. And I feel as if, and please forgive me if I am assuming too much, but I feel as if God has put a little bit of Jacob Phillips' DNA in New Life and a little bit of New Life DNA in Jacob Phillips. And we've just all become one big happy family as the Holy Ghost has moved throughout these last couple of weeks. And I'm just going to tell you, God's not done yet. Well, thank you, Jesus. God's not done yet. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bishop, I love you so much. I give you honor. I appreciate you and your walk with God and your love for this precious truth. I tell you something else I appreciate. I appreciate the fact that every time I have stepped to this pulpit, I have never one time felt a fetter or a chain or a string attached to it, but this man has allowed the Holy Ghost to do what it wants to do in whatever way it wants to. And that's not, believe it or not, people don't do that everywhere you go. That's a scary thing, ain't it? Thank God for real apostolic revival. Hallelujah. Exodus 15 and 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in many pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. But thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. I apologize for a lengthy reading tonight, but would you allow me to read one more verse of Scripture, verse 11? That's where I want you to pay attention tonight. Moses then says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. I here to tell you prophetically in the Holy Ghost that there are some wonders that are going to take place in this house tonight. If God will help us, I want to preach just for the next few moments, wonder in the wondering. Wonder in the wondering. That's W-O-N-D-E-R in the W-A-N-D-E-R. R-I-N-G. Got it? We together? I have preached along these lines here in the past couple of weeks. There's something here that I really want to go towards, press into, and I want to, if God will help us, go to the next level. Can we do that? Can we just unfetter everything, every thought, everything? Why don't you do that right now? Why don't you just unpack all the baggage that you've been carrying around all day? Come on, right now. Let's take about 30, 45 seconds and just unpack the baggage. Because I'm going to tell you in the Holy Ghost, there's some of you, the Holy Ghost wanted to move through, hit this place in just a few moments ago, but there was so much baggage holding you down. With the help of the Holy Ghost, we're going to preach it out. We're going to unpack it right now. Open up the suitcase of your mind and your heart and let God just start dealing with the baggage that's there. Come on, let the Holy Ghost work. Let the Holy Ghost work. Jesus, right now, God, help me, strengthen me, change me, challenge me. Come on, help me pray right now. Would you lift your voice? Come on, lift your voice, lift your voice. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, I want you to pray right now. Would you give me 30 more seconds of just praying in the Holy Ghost? Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Ooh, come on, somebody pray. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the fear of the Lord. I'm going to do my best to skip. Y'all, don't get too far, okay? You can go down if you want to, but just don't get too far. I'm not going to be long tonight. I'm going to do my best to try to skip the introduction because I feel like the Holy Ghost has already gave this an introduction tonight, okay? And so can you just plug in right now and let's just preach and let's not worry about an introduction and where we are and what we got to get to and all that stuff. We understand the text. The text is that Moses has just been delivered. Moses has just been set free. God has made a way out of no way. God has opened the doors from the prison cell of Egypt, and now they are beginning to sing the songs of Zion as God has delivered them. But there is a transition trying to happen here that God's people are just, they're struggling with this. They can't quite wrap their mind around how God is wanting to take them to a new place and walk in a new level. That's where some of us are right now. They can't quite get their mind around the fact that they are no longer a slave. They are no longer under subjection to another man, but now they have been made free by the power of the Almighty God. You want to know what will really hinder your personal revival is when you try to live for God with a slavery complex. That will hinder you from walking into the promised land. When you try to live for God off of the way that you live for the world, and when you try to live for God off of the way that the enemy controlled your life and pushed all the right buttons and turned all the right knobs and all of that stuff, I'm going to tell you tonight that you can live for God without all the baggage of yesterday. I don't know why I keep coming back to this word, but I keep feeling it in the Holy Ghost. Say that you can live for God without the baggage of Egypt carrying around in your suitcase. You can live for God without the baggage of what happened in your mind. You don't have to live with that bitterness. You don't have to live with that unforgiveness. You don't have to live with that addiction. You can get rid of the baggage and walk into the place that God wants you to walk in. I'm here to tell somebody on a Wednesday night that you are more than able to overcome that thing that's been holding you back. God's delivered you out of Egypt, but somebody needs to get in an altar and shout their way until Egypt gets out of them. You need to... Lord, help me, Jesus. I feel like telling somebody on a Wednesday night, you're more than able. You're more than able. You're more than able. You don't have to be a grasshopper in your own sight. You don't have to buy into the lie that I'm not big enough and I'm not strong enough. God has given you the power to overcome. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what. What the problem simply was not the fact of how the giant, and I don't have time to get in to preach this whole story, so just let me hop around through it tonight. I don't have time to preach it all, but just walk with me through this text for just a moment. The problem was not the fact that the giant seen them as grasshoppers. Anybody with me tonight? The problem was the fact that they were grasshoppers in their own sight. The problem was as they had bought into the lie that they are not able to go in and possess the land. Hallelujah. And so what happens when we get in this place is the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 2, the Bible says that they murmured against Moses and Aaron. But you see, if you go down a little bit longer and you see in Numbers chapter 14, and I believe it's verse 29, that when God speaks, he says, your carcass is going to die in the wilderness, everybody that's 20 years old and upward. And then he said, because you have murmured against me. Well, I don't think we can really go there, Moses. I know that you've got this big vision of revival. I know you've got this big vision of how we're going to turn Birmingham upside down. But I don't really know if we can get there. And when God heard that, he said, understand, the text says they murmured against Moses and Aaron. But when God spoke, he said, you didn't murmur against Moses and Aaron. You murmured against me. You see, so you can disagree with the visionary, but one thing you won't ever be able to do and get away with it is disagree with the vision. You cannot like the way the visionary says it. You cannot like what he's wanting to do. But I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, God gave him that vision. And if he said, we're going to be running 1,000, 1,200 in this building, then honey, you better get ready because we will be running 1,000 or 1,200 in this building. You can say, well, I don't really think we need to start all those daughter work. I'm going to tell you what, you better be careful unless you die in the wilderness. I'm trying my best to get into the text tonight of where I'm wanting to go. And so here's the dilemma. Here's what I want to get to. These people are walking into a place where they will have no place to call it home. They're wandering. They're walking around in circles. And so here's the dilemma. How do you get 19-year-olds to keep the faith when they're being punished for something that they didn't do? I don't deserve this, God. Anybody ever been there? I wasn't a part of the murmurers. There's some of us here tonight that you feel as if you're suffering for rebellion that you didn't even take part in. I've been walking through this hell hole. I've been walking through this test. I've been under the guns of hell, and it feels as if this ain't my fault. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't have to walk through this. I shouldn't have to see all of this. But God speaks. God speaks through the prophetic of Moses, and Moses begins to speak of all the wonderful things that God has done and what he was getting ready to do. God speaks through prophetically through Moses as he begins to sing his song, and he says the simple words, God, you are doing wonders. He was walking into a place where they would walk around in circles for 40 years. Understand, I don't have time to explain to you the whole wilderness experience. I wish I did tonight, but I will tell you this, is they are walking into a place where it seems as if they will never get victory, they will never get the blessing, they will never get the breakthrough. Can I preach to somebody tonight that's been in these 6-8 months or whatever, I don't even know how long we've been here now, 6 months of revival, and you feel as if everybody else has got a word but you, and you feel like everybody else has been talked to but you, everybody else has got their blessing but you, everybody else has got a miracle but you, and you're feeling as if you've been left out, and God doesn't care, and God is not listening. Can you listen to Brother Phillips for the next few moments and let me tell you what God told me to tell you? He said exactly what Moses said. I'm going to do a wonder while you're wondering, while you're walking around in circles, and while you're wondering if you've been left out. I'm preaching to somebody right now in the Holy Ghost. You better reach up and grab that word. While you've been wondering, is God forgotten about me? While you've been wondering, am I by myself?
myself. God sent me tonight to tell you that there's a miracle in your wandering. There's a miracle while you're questioning, while you're wondering if God even recognizes that you're alive. There's a miracle in the middle of the mess. Oh, help me, Jesus. I'm preaching to somebody today that feels as if they're following God blindly. I could preach a whole lot of stuff tonight and make it real pretty, but again, I know where we're at and I know where we're going, so just let me get in the trenches here for a little bit. You've been asking God, are you ever going to answer my prayer? You've been asking the Lord, why? But God said that there is a miracle. Moses is speaking to you right now, and he's saying there's a miracle. He's gonna do a wonder in the wandering. I know you can't see it, I know you can't feel it, but there's a miracle in this somewhere. You can't see how God could ever make a way, but somehow God's gonna make a way. You can't see how God will ever put that marriage back together, but somewhere there's a miracle in this mess. Hallelujah. I know everything's not perfect tonight, and you might not be able to see the next step, but you just hear this preacher. If you're not careful, you'll get frustrated because I can't see where I'm going. I can't see what God wants to do. Understand, when they were in the wilderness, they were following this thick cloud. Am I in the book? Every step they took was following a cloud. I can't see where I'm going. Brother Dawson, I can't see the next step. And I feel like I'm following God blind. But I'm going to keep reaching into the cloud, because there's glory in this cloud somewhere. So I can't see what God's doing. Good. That means you're right in the middle of his glory. I can't see how God's going to make a way. Good. That means you're right in the middle of the cloud that's so thick that the priest couldn't even stand to minister. I don't know. You don't need to know. Just keep groping in the cloud. Just keep feeling for the miracle. Just keep looking for the breakthrough. I know you feel like by now I should have been in the promised land. I know you feel like by now I should have had the blessing. But I come to tell you that God don't work on your time. And God don't work on your schedule, but nevertheless, he still works, and he still shows up, and he still makes a way, even in the wilderness. Hallelujah. This wilderness, I've come to preach tonight that this wilderness isn't going to last forever. I've come to tell you that this barren season that you're in, and it ain't going to last forever. This place of desolation that you're in right now, hear me, new life, it ain't going to last forever. And you've been watching, I'm going to say it again because I feel it in the Holy Ghost. You've been watching everybody else get a blessing. You've been watching everybody else get a breakthrough. And I heard you praying tonight in the Holy Ghost when I walked through the back door about 5 o'clock this afternoon. God, where's my word? God, where's my miracle? It's right here in the middle of the glory cloud. It's right here hidden under your nose. You couldn't see what God was doing, but nevertheless, you didn't recognize that I was standing in the middle of the glory. Hallelujah. You see, you gotta, God help me, Jesus. You gotta walk through this wilderness experience if you want to experience the glory of God. So what, break that down a little bit for me, preacher. I'm telling you, you will never see the miraculous if you stay in Egypt. You will never see the miraculous if all you do is sit around on your apostolic lazy boy and just collect a miracle every now and again. You're never gonna, I'm talking about the real deal miraculous. I know we've seen a little bit of miracles around here, but God sent me to tell you, I'm going to do a wonder in the middle of this wilderness. The world's gone crazy, Brother Antoine. They've lost their mind. But God said, watch me show up in that wilderness and watch me work a miracle. The world says you can't have revival. Gas prices are out the roof. We've got cyber attacks and war in Israel just about it. And the world said there's no way that the church can have revival. But God said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. I'm going to do a wonder in the middle of the wilderness. Somebody ought to give God about 15 seconds of high praise right now. While everybody else was murmuring, I know what the text says, but what the text doesn't tell us is what was going through the minds of these 19-year-olds as they're walking around being punished for something that they didn't do. The Bible doesn't tell us what was going through their mind as they're watching God's people have to suffer. And I can see them walking up to the bitter waters of Marah. And somebody gets mad at God, mad at the preacher, God forbid, and says, oh, would to God we'd have stayed in Egypt. And one young little man, I can just see him, about 18, 19 years old, little Israeli boy, walks up and says, are you kidding me? Did you not just see God open up the Red Sea? And now you're wondering how in the world God's going to give us water in this wilderness. Did you not just watch as the waters separated? See, if you're not careful, the wilderness will cause you to forget the miracles of yesterday. And you'll get in a little bit of a trial and you'll start forgetting all that God has done for you. It's like the little story of the young man that said, I'm going to leave the church. And his daddy said, Bubba, that's fine if you want to leave, but just do daddy one more favor. Go back to the prayer room and pray one more time and start thinking about all that God has done for you. He said, daddy, it's bad. He said, just do it one time. The story goes that the young man walked into the prayer room and got down on his knee and said, Lord, I thank you for giving me breath and life. And he started walking down his life of every time that God had made a way. And after about an hour and a half of thanking the Lord, he come back out and he said, daddy, I don't want to go anywhere. God's been too good. I'm going to tell somebody something that right now you're bitter and you're angry at the wilderness. Well, I wish you'd look back at where you came from and recognize that the wilderness, being led by the glory of God in the wilderness, is better than living under the bondage of Pharaoh. Walking with my hand in the glory cloud is better than walking with my hand in chains. Walking with God every day is better than living by the Nile River. Hallelujah. Say, well, you're thirsty, yeah. But you can still be drinking from the Nile. Somebody said, while everybody was getting upset, some young little old man said, but God made a way, and I believe that he's going to do another wonder in our midst. I come to preach to New Life and tell you, how many times has God opened up the Red Sea? How many times has water came from the rock? How many times has manna fell from heaven? And this, my God, this wilderness you're in, this time that you're having to experience, is nothing for God. I'm going to deal with something right here. Look around. Wednesday night. I want you to look around. Look around a little bit. You feel that spirit of doubt? I never was good at dodging stuff. I just hit it head on. I can feel it, and Bishop can feel it because we've talked about it. But from the outside looking in, it looks like revival's over, right? But I came with a word tonight to tell somebody God's going to work a wonder in this wilderness. Hey, Let me tell you about the miraculous. The miraculous always happens at the most opportune times, in the most inopportune places. The miraculous is never going to fall as if you're sitting there and you're eating honey that you, and milk and living in a house that you didn't. The miraculous can fall there as long as you're comfortable. They had comfort in Egypt. We know that's true because they said, at least we had a little bit to eat and drink. We had a little bit of comfort. I'm telling somebody tonight that you're in a wilderness right now that's been orchestrated by God, because God's trying to get you out of your comfort zone to where every step you take, you're walking in the miraculous and you're walking in the glory cloud and you're walking in what God has for you. I know you can't see what you're doing and where you're going, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Walking in the wilderness is a faith walk, but when without faith, it's impossible to please God. You won't ever please Him if you don't learn how to live for Him in the wilderness. You won't ever please Him if you don't learn how to pick up the manna, how to find the water from the rock, how to find the miraculous in the wilderness.
How many times myself have I been in a place in my walk with God where I felt as if I was just dancing blind? Can't see God, can't feel God. All I'm doing is swiping. You see, the wilderness will give you plenty of stuff to be bitter about, angry, and if you're not careful, you'll get all that junk bottled up on the inside of you. The next thing you know, and I could preach through this whole text, but we'd be here all night. Again, tonight we're not trying to be pretty. We're just trying to get the point across because God's wanting to do something. But what happens when you get in that place is you often start getting mad at other people in the church because, well, they got out. They're not still living in the wilderness that I'm having to live in. And then you start getting mad at God. God, why are you picking on me? And you don't even recognize it the whole time. You're standing in the glory cloud. And the reason you can't see is not because God says, I don't want you to see what's going on. It's because His glory is just so thick. That's why you can't see. You're standing in the middle of the glory cloud. You're standing in the very center where the miraculous happens. Say, preacher, I don't want to live in the wilderness. I don't want to walk through this. I don't want to deal with this. Well, let me take you to Hebrews chapter 9. I'm closing. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4, where it begins to list the things that were put inside of the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible tells us that there was what? Anybody remember? There was a bowl of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the Ten Commandments. Now let me ask you a question. Were any of those items that I'm talking about, they're inside of the most sacred box. This is, and I don't have time to preach all the types and shadows, but it's in the Ark of the Covenant. This is the most powerful thing that the Old Testament, it's the representation of the Spirit of God. And on the inside of it, the guts of it, if you'll let me just put it like that, are all things, Brother Jermaine, that they brought not from the tabernacle once they had everything going well. Every item inside the Ark of the Covenant was things that they found in their walk with God in the wilderness. It was signs of the miraculous in the wilderness. You know what God's saying? You can give me a saint that's got plenty of gold on them. Let me have the Ark of Covenant. It doesn't matter how much gold it has on it. I don't want to know about how much gold you got. I want to know how much glory you got on the inside. See, that was the mistake that they made. They went from the tabernacle of just the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was just a bunch of badger skins. Just some nice stuff on the inside, but it was ugly to look at. It was covered up to where the dust couldn't get in and all that stuff. It was hot and muggy on the inside. Can you imagine being inside of a box where no air can get to in the middle of the desert where it's normally 105 to 110 degrees, how humid it had to be inside of there? And then on top of that, you got the smell. Let's walk through this. You got the smell of blood and guts that's been frying out there on a Holy Ghost barbecue pit. As God is taking the sacrifices of his people and accepting it. And you've got that mingled with the sweet-smelling savior of incense. You got all that mixed together in this one little hot room. But there was something in there that you couldn't see from the outside looking in. It was glory. And every year at the Day of Atonement, Brother Collins, the Spirit of the Lord would come down and judgment would be turned to mercy in that place. You can talk about and we can shout about it and we can run the aisles and all that good stuff about how the Spirit of the Lord comes into the tabernacle once Solomon builds it into Solomon's temple and all this beautiful stuff and all the millions of billions of dollars that it would have cost to build it in today's money, and we can do all that transition and teaching and all that great stuff. But at the end of the day, you want to know what Israel's biggest problem was? Is they traded in gold for glory. So we don't want the glory no more. Just give us the gold. I am a firm believer that if you show God that the only place you can live for him is the wilderness, most likely you will spend the rest of your life in the wilderness. Some people don't know how to live for God in the tabernacle of Solomon's temple. They don't know how to live for God there. But can I tell you, regardless of where you are in that whole mashup, and there's so much in that I don't have time to preach it all tonight. Regardless of where you are, there's one thing I know for sure. The miraculous will always find you in the wilderness. There's always, Moses was becoming a prophet like he had never known before, and he's walking into what would be the wilderness. He's beginning that 40 years of wandering. He's beginning to walk around in circles unbeknownst to him at this point. But he spoke prophetically and he said, God, you're doing wonders. I don't know what your wilderness is. As a matter of fact, I don't want to know what your wilderness is. But I'm here to tell y'all more cortillas. I'm going to tell you that I got a burden today for somebody as I was driving down the road. Felt like giving up, and God just wanted me to tell you there's a miracle in this somewhere. I don't know where it's at. You don't have to know where it's at. Just know it's here somewhere. And if I'll just keep looking around in this darkness, if I'll just keep groping in this glory cloud, if I'll just keep reaching into the unseen and trying to get a hold of something, eventually I'm going to come out with a miracle. Eventually, it's going to be something that's going to take me from faith to faith and glory to glory. If I just keep reaching, I'm going to find the miraculous. Every eye closed, every hand lifted. We're done. Remember, I told you I wanted you to take a spiritual snapshot of where we were. I want you to go back. I want y'all to sing the same song. Now, I want you, that person that was here tonight, that is here right now. Again, I recognize I ain't preached to everybody, but I've preached to somebody. And you're in that place where you've been asking God, why have you spoke to everybody else but to me? Why have you gave everybody else a word? Why have you broke everybody else out? Why have you gave them promise of revival for their family? And why not me? I want you to just lift your voice right now and just start praying to the Lord. God, I'm going to find the miracle in this. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But I know that a miracle can happen right here where I am, right in my... I don't have to get to the church. I don't have to get to a new place in God. I don't have to find the next level. Right where I am, I'm going to find a miracle. And when you learn how to find the miracle where you are, that's when you go to the next level. Come on, somebody lift your voice right now. Lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice. Say, Brother Phillips, you're just... You're trying to beat us. And no, I'm not trying to beat you into nothing. I'm trying to drag you out of that place that you're in, that place of doubt that says my revival can't happen. My season's over. That I've done went too far and I've done too much and all of this other stuff. God's not going to work a miracle in my life. I'm here to tell you right now that there is a miracle for you in this house. Come on, would you reach out and grab it? Reach out and grab it. Real quickly before they sing, bring the music down just a little bit. I'm going to explain something to you because I feel that spirit from hell that told you, well, that's just a general word. You ask for a word for you. You ask for something direct. You ask for God to call you out. Let me tell you how the prophetic works. Sometimes God comes to us individually, but there are times that God speaks it and waits on you to make it individual. You make it personal. There's a word that's went out tonight, and I know what I feel right now in the Holy Ghost. The devil's trying everything he can to try to beat somebody over the head and say, yeah, that wasn't for you, because if it was, he would have called you out. If that's you right now, I'm talking to you. This was for you. You got to reach up and grab it and make it personal right now. Would you do that? Come on. This is mine. This is mine. Somebody just started saying that in the Holy Ghost. This is mine. I claim this right now. It's mine. It's mine. I'm taking this. I'm going to find the miracle in what I'm going through. I'm going to find the miracle in my mess. I'm going to find a miracle in my marriage. I'm going to find a miracle in my family. I'm going to find a miracle. I'm going to look for it until I get a hold of it. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yeah. Right now, the Holy Ghost is working. Come on, right now, the Holy Ghost is working. Would you let Him work in you? Would you let Him work in you? Come on, that's it, that's it, that's it. That's it, that's it. There's a miracle in this. There's a miracle in what you're going through. You just got to look for it. And there's manna that's on the ground right now. There's manna on the ground. But you got to gather it. You got to bake it. You got to thresh it. Come on, somebody, look for the miracle. Would you step out from where you are, everyone that would you step out from in your aisle, come to the altar, wherever it is, move from where you are. Come on, move from that same 6 inches that you've been standing in all night. Make a move. Find a miracle. Yeah, 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 come on, come on.
A miracle can happen. A miracle can happen in this place. A miracle can happen. A miracle can happen.
Come on, you need to displace that spirit of doubt right now and put it out of your mind and put it out of your spirit. But you need to pray that the Holy Ghost will deliver you from that spirit of doubt that's been controlling your life and steals every miracle that you get your hands around. Come on, I'm not going to let my murmuring steal my miracle. I'm not going to let doubt stop me from seeing the promises of God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Come on. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. dealing with any kind of, this is what I'm able to do in the Holy Ghost, I promise. We're fixing to get out of here. I recognize you got to go to work tomorrow and all that good stuff, but if you are dealing with physical ailments right now, we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I want you to come up here to this front. I don't care. I heard the Lord say a while ago that he wanted to hear some young lady's thyroid here tonight. I don't have to know who you are, whatever it is. You can come in and blend with the crowd. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost just spoke to me, and he said, if you've been dealing with something physical for a long time, and you've been praying and asking God for the miracle, and it has not happened yet, but yet you've been praying, I want you to get up here in this front, and we're going to pray right now. Come on, as quickly as you can. The Holy Ghost is going to work. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if you're blind. I don't care if you're deaf. I don't care if you're lame. I don't care whatever it is. But if you have a physical problem that you have been having to deal with, and you want a miracle right now in the middle of this, I want you to come up here. We're going to pray. The Holy Ghost is fixing to work. Come on, God's fixing to touch you. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. God, I pray right now that every physical problem that came up here to this front in faith, believing that you were going to heal, God, they've been praying and asking God. They've been asking you, Lord, to work a miracle. They've been asking you, Lord, to get out of this wilderness. I pray, God, right where they are, right in the middle of all hell breaking loose, right in the middle of this physical trial, in the middle of this physical wilderness that they've been having to walk through, I pray that the healing virtue would flow right now in Jesus' name. God, you heal. You're a healer. You're a deliverer. You're a way maker. There's nothing too hard for you. Come on, let your faith reach out right now. I don't care how many times you prayed before and it didn't happen. I don't care how many times that you've had to fight with doubt before because it didn't happen the last time you got prayer. You lift your voice right now in a shout of praise, believing that God's going to work it out. Come on, God, you're doing it right now. This praise is to signify that I believe that you're working a miracle in my wilderness right now. I believe it. Come on, if you're up here around the front, you ought to reach over and lay hands on somebody and just pray with them in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, just pray with them in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Healing virtue flow. You're doing it, God. Come on, I want you to lift your voice right now. I want you to lift it so loud that every devil that's in 100 miles will hear you right now in your wilderness. Come on, praise him for your miracle where you are. Praise him for your miracle where you are. Well, you don't have to get to the promised land before you get your miracle, honey. You can get your miracle right here. Right here. You prayed and you felt like God's a million miles away. But I'm telling you, right here, you can get a miracle. Yeah. It's happening right now. It's happening, Brother Dawson. It's happening. Come on, it's happening right now. But I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody's getting a miracle over something that they put on a list.
Jesus and brought it up on the altar and laid it down. You didn't even pray for you. You prayed for somebody else. You asked God to touch their problem. And God said, I'm touching you right now. Not now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Yekelemosatayana.
I feel a wave of glory just waving. Praise God, praise God. Don't keep up the intensity. We had a young lady that had a dream this week that a couple of backsliders were coming home. Sister Tina, Savannah, come and stand. I need some ladies of faith to come and stand with them. We're going to pray right now in the name of Jesus. I believe that dream was a sign. They have brought items tonight that are going to be anointed. We're going to anoint them that belong to these backsliders. And we're going to go to God in prayer. Brother Dawson, during the exhortation tonight, I felt a warfare spirit. They came tonight to bring items of clothing from these young people that have walked out of the house of God. And I'm telling you, there's a warfare spirit in this place tonight. I'm believing that God's going to do something in this house that's going to travel outside the doors of this house. In the name of Jesus, come on, everybody, pray right now. Oh, that's it. Press into that prayer right now. Come on, let deep cry unto deep. In the name of Jesus. God, I bind every spirit of fear. I bind every spirit of doubt in the name of Jesus. I take authority, oh God. Come on, there's wonder in this season. There's a miracle in this season. Come on, God's lifting the cloud of doubt and confusion right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Somebody shout for the victory right now. Somebody lift up a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We glorify your name, oh God. We worship you.